The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Echet Yebamot has been dedicated and sponsored by our dear friend Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife in honor of his family and Hatzlacha Varvaha Bechol Ma'asei Yadav. May be Zocheh to raise his children in the ways of the Torah. They should give him much nachat. He should have many more children with health and happiness. Chen v'chesed b'enei Hashem u'b'nei Adam. And he should have beracha b'kol mikol kol. Him and his entire family. Amen. Daf Samechet. Today's daf is being studied. Da'ilu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem t'nihenu b'gan Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Daf Samechet Amud Rishon. And we are four lines from the top. Tanu Rabbanan. Niset l'rishon. The lady got married to the first husband, Velo Hayu La Banim. She's married like the Lord 10 years, didn't have children, like the Halakha said, so they have to get divorced. The Sheni, she got married to the second husband, Velo Hayu La Banim, as well for 10 years. The Shelishi, Lo Tenase Ela Lemishi Yesh La Banim. When it comes to the third marriage, they have to, she can only marry a man that has children. Obviously, we're following over the opinion of the B that says that there's a hazakah with two. So therefore, once already she went to two husbands and she was not able to have children, so therefore already we established that she has a hazakah that she cannot bear children. Therefore, she marries the third one, he must have children already, because the mitzvah pirur who is on the husband is on the man. Therefore, he has to make sure that he has children, because you assume that they're not going to have children from that lady. So the Gemara says, what's the case? Niset lemishe en lo banim. Let's say in the third marriage she gets married to somebody that does not have children. Obviously, that is not a legal marriage. Tetze belo ketuba. So the Gemara's language is over here. She must get an immediate divorce, and the husband does not have to pay the ketuba. So the Mefarshim explained over here that the reason why there's no ketuba payment to Sfot in Dibur HaMathil Tetze says we're talking about a case over here that the husband did not know that she was married already twice, meaning for a period of 10 years without having children. Which is, if he would have known that from the beginning, that she's really asurat to him, so he wouldn't have got married to her in the first place. So therefore, since he got married really betaut, meaning he was under a false pretense, so therefore really technically the marriage itself technically really is a marriage betaut, and therefore the ketuvah is considered betela. However, it should be noted that he still has to give her a get because her fact that she's not able to bear children is not evident. We're just relying on a hazakah that it's not for sure that she cannot bear children. Maybe she can bear children. You don't know, just because we're relying on a hazakah. We don't have any facts meaning be told over here, so therefore it's still considered the marriage is a legal marriage. Therefore, Tosfot explains that a get is necessary. Comes the Gemara and gives the case now. Gemara says, let's say she got married to the third husband, velo hayu la banim. Okay, and they did not have children. Can she go back now? And the original husbands now have claims against her, because the first two husbands had to pay ketubah. The deen is, when a guy's married to a lady, and she doesn't have children for 10 years, so he gives divorce, but he has to pay the ketubah, because there's no hazakah yet. However, the she'ela is, now let's say he marries the third husband, and now already she's established that she's not having children. So the question is now, can these guys come along and say, we want a ketubah payment back, pay us back. The first two guys, bottom line, you have a hazakah now. Bottom line, you prove yourself that you don't have, you're not childbearing. Therefore, it was your problem. Therefore, the chara, we don't have to pay the ketubah. So that's really the question of the Gemara. Mi matzi amrila, can they tell her, iglai milta, it has been proven retroactively, de'atava de'garam, that it's your fault. You caused this. Because harai, yeah, you married three people already, you didn't have children. Or Dilma, or maybe the opposite. Matzit Amra Lehu, she can tell them, Hashtao Dechahashe. Now I got weak. You can't prove it to me. You want to prove to me. Maybe I was childbearing in the first two marriages, and now I lost my strength. So therefore, you're not getting back the ketubah money. That's the two sides. So Gemara says, Mistabra matzit amra lehu hashtahu dechahashem. Mistabra makes sense to say that she can't come with that claim and say that now she got weak because she really can't prove it. Therefore, the general rule is that Musim havero ala varai. Yeah, you want to bring a proof? Prove it to me. She says, I got weak now. Therefore, you want me to give back money that I got? Too late. You can't prove it. And therefore, she can keep the money. The money belongs to her. Comes the Gemara and continues. Mistavra, like we just said, Matzit Amra Lehu, Ashtahu, Dechahashe, Ibai Lehu. The Gemara has another question. Niset Larbi'i. Now let's say she got married to a fourth guy. Vehayu La Banim. And all of a sudden now she becomes fertile. And she has children from the fourth husband. Ma'u Ditbe'el Lishilishi. Can she go back to the third guy now and say she wants a ketubah? Because really she's fertile. She got a ketubah already from the first two guys. Once already she gets the first two husbands, she can have children already. So then we have a hazakah going to the bid that she's not able to bear children. So the third guy marries her, so we said he doesn't have to pay the ketubah. Now she marries the fourth guy, never having children. So can't she go back to the third guy and say, see, it wasn't my fault, I'm able to have children, therefore pay me my ketubah. Amrina and la, so the Gemara says, in this case, you know what we say? Shtikutach yafe medivurach. Better you keep quiet than you open your mouth. Why? Dematzi amar la, because now this third husband can come along and tell her, ana adata dehachi loger ashtik. He'll come along and say, oh, you're childbearing? Well, I didn't give you a divorce under those conditions. Therefore what? The divorce is not a divorce. Therefore, now you're considered ishit ish because you got married, and the child that you have is considered a mamzer. So therefore, the Gemara says, hey, she's better off keeping quiet. Because then she can open up a can of worms. Then she's going to start saying, hey, I want my ketubah payment. What do you mean you want your ketubah payment? Yeah, I'm able to bear children. Wow. You're able to bear children. I would never have divorced you. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? But kifla ra papa, ii shatka, anan mi shatkinan. What's the difference? Which means, even if she doesn't open her mouth, still, is Betin going to keep quiet? Which means nimsa get batel ubanei mamzerim, which is even without her opening her mouth, the fact be told this guy mitziut gave the get lichaura on the condition with the understanding that she was not fertile. Now that she's fertile, it should be an automatic that she should be not divorced and the children be mamzerim. But the Gemara really means to say, and we're not going to say that. And we're going to say when a husband gives a get to his wife, he understands that it's possible she can become fertile because he really didn't do any testing over here. Bottom line, it's just relying on a hazakah. So therefore, you have to assume that what? Really the get is a full-fledged get. And that's what Rashi says. Look at Rashi, Dibuna Matchil, Matkif Lera Papa. Ve'i matze ba'la lebatule get ba'achi. If you tell me that the husband can mevatil the get by that claim, what do I care if she keeps quiet? Anan mishatkin, are we going to keep quiet? Havadai adata daki lo girsha. Ela medeshatkinan vadai lo matzile betule. Really, we're going to say the silence is not really hetet to say that the get was no good. You know why? Tamrina ne misfeka kamigareshita. Listen, when you divorced her, you knew there was a chance she can childbear or not. You divorced her regardless. Veloch patlag ba. The gamat bedatech legirushim. You gave the get. You gave the get for the get. You didn't have any qualms, which means you knew there was a chance you could bear children. You gave the get. You knew that nothing is black and white. So you gave her the get, misafek, knowing both sides. Also, the Gemara's question is back. Bottom line, when she goes married the fourth guy now to have children, can she go back now and claim to the third guy, I want my ketubah? And don't tell me that her talking is going to make any difference, because whether she talks or not, we say the get is a good get. The question now is, can she claim a ketubah? Gemara says, Ela Amrinan, first wide line, Hasht. We come along and say now that the third husband can tell her, you got healthy now. Which means, there's no proof, just because you're childbearing now, there's no indication when we were married. When we married, you were sick. You weren't able to have children, you were infertile. Now, right, you're having children now, you want to claim a ketubah that you were good when you were married to me? When you were married to me, you were weak. Now you got better. So therefore, I'm not giving you the ketubah. The Gemara says that is the claim that is accepted, that she says, if you want to exempt him from the get, this is the way you can exempt him. The Amrina Le is telling him, Shechazal yod b'diyah michol yav. She's now she got healthy from her sickness, and therefore, but by bottom line, when she was married to the third guy, she wasn't able to bear children, and therefore, he doesn't have to pay the ketubah. Let's make a comprehensive review now of the cases of this b'raita over here. Case number one of the b'raita was where nisit l'rishon, there was no children. L'sheni, there was no children. So we say l'shilishi lo tenaseh. Why? Because according to the B, after already two times, when she was married for 10 years and didn't have children, already she's mochzeket, that she's not going to be able to have children. So this third guy really shouldn't have married her. Tosfot gives an okimta in the case, like we learned, he married her without knowledge. And therefore, once he marries her without knowledge, the deen is, really he has to divorce her. Divorce her immediately. Because she really is not supposed to be married to her. However, the deen is in the Gemara that she does not get the ketubah. But we went even as far to say, why should they get the ketubah? Because the whole thing was betaut. The guy didn't realize what he was doing. It's really a question, why does he even have to give her a get? But we said, like, I made the get already, the kiddushin was hal, and we made a hiluk that he has to give her a get. But now the Gemara starts with the questions. Marry the first guy. Marry the second guy. 10 years both, no children. Now she goes and marries the third guy. Nisit l'shilishi, and now she doesn't have children. So now the Gemara's question was, well, she went three rounds without having to have children. Could you backdate? Could the first two guys come back and say, hey, we paid you ketubah, now we have a claim on you. Pay us back our money. Oh, so your question, Tosafot asked the question, so what are you talking about? What do you have to already wait for the third guy? If you tell me hazakah is after two guys, so technically already the second guy can come along and say, I'm not paying you ketubah, you're already mozeket. So Tosfot says that even according to the B, that says there's a hazakah after two, that's only going to be marriage. But the gabit of money, you need a hazakah of three. So therefore, it's very integral this point. Therefore, after she gets married to the third guy, so now already they didn't have children. So now already you see she's a mozeket the gabin, not only not having children, that's already she was a mozeket going into the third marriage. Now she's a mozeket even the gabin the mamonot, which the people agree need three times. Now the other two guys come along and say, okay, listen, now we're discussing mamonot. Now already give us back our money, because now you're mozeka the gabin the mamon, we want our money back. So the gabin says she can come along and have a claim. What's the claim that she could say to the husband, to the people? She said, I got weak now, which means who says, maybe when I was married to you I was okay, I was childbearing, and therefore now I just started not to be able to have children. You can't prove that, so therefore she doesn't have to get the she does not have to give back her money for the ketubah. But I guess another case, she got married to guy number three, they didn't have children over there. The man continues the case, she got married to guy number four, she had children. Oh, now she has children, so she, her claim is now I'm childbearing, so I can have children. So therefore, hey, your whole claim, guy number three, why you didn't pay me the ketubah, was because you're saying what? That you're the third guy. Third guy, hazakah, no money. I'm coming on and saying there's no hazakah, I'm childbearing. What are you talking about? I can have children. So the Gemara says, can she make such a claim? So the Gemara says, no, the third guy has a better claim. The third guy's claim is, listen, now you're able to have children. Bottom line, when you were married to me, you were weak. And therefore, now you got healthy. So bottom line, I'm the third guy. You were weak. You were weak three times. Bottom line, with me, there was a hazakah with you. What happened to you after? You changed after. So therefore, going forward, the guy has to pay ketubah for you. But I'm not paying the ketubah. The Gemara says, that is the claim that is going to be accepted. Comes the Gemara and continues. First wide line. Who amar? Thank you. Who amar mina? Vihi amra mine, which means now already we start getting into cases where both of them are having mahloket. What's the mahloket they're having amongst themselves? They're both blaming each other. He comes along and says, it's your fault, which means I can't have children because of you. Vihi amra, and she comes along and says, mine, that the problem is because of you. So the way he explains over here is to set up the case away so we can understand. במקרה שגמרא דנה עליו כעת, הבעל והאישה מתדיינים בעניין ממוני. The whole subject of here is money. It's not about bearing children anymore. ולא בעניין החובה להתגרש. We're not discussing over here, she wants a divorce, not a divorce. It's an issue of here, so she has to get the money. Which means, בדעתם להתגרש בכל אופן. Which means they're getting divorced. That's already established. either because that's what he wants to do, or because they waited 10 years according to the halakha, and therefore the divorce is mandatory according to the Beit Din. Either way, now the Baal wants to come along and say, I don't have to pay you a ketubah over here. Why? Because it's your problem that we cannot be that we cannot be mitaber, and therefore I don't have to pay the ketubah. It's your problem. She comes along and says, what? That's your problem. Now, the case over here explains furthermore. Hiyot umatzav zu haya kayam letanato be'et nisuehem, which means obviously she had this problem when they were married, whatever issues she's having. Vehu lo yada miken, he didn't know from these problems. Wait, harin nisuehem betaut. So therefore, he's coming. This is the first guy. He's coming along and saying that the whole marriage really is under false pretenses. Ubetelim him. Now, what's the logic? It says, "Bederekla, when a person gets married, the assumption is she's childbearing. The assumption is that the lady's going to be able to bring children to the world." Now, which means, if I would have known that you're such a lady over here like this, that could not have children, I wouldn't have gotten married to you in the first place. And therefore, the whole kiddushin is batelum butal. And therefore, if there's no kiddushin over here, then there's no kitubah as well. So therefore, that's what he's trying to do over here. Now, im b'mekne kazet teshtok ha'isha. Let's see the lady's claim. If the lady doesn't say anything, she's going to keep quiet to such a time. Yekabel bedin etanato, because there's nobody arguing. He comes and says, "This is what I want to do. I want to knock out the kiddushin because there's a mekah taut over here. If there's no claimant on the other side, we're going to accept it. We're going to say the guy is not bringing ketubah. Achet tashit ketubata. But the bekreshe lefanehenu, she's not quiet. She's not passive. She comes to the betin as well, and she comes along and says, no, it's your problem why I'm not having children. Now, tanata, her claim really is, we're going to see in the Gemara, is that his shechvat zera doesn't have the ability to be yoreka hetz. For zera to be mazriyat, for it to be fertile, it has to come into the lady with force. That has to be mazriyat kechetz, like an arrow that has a certain projection with force. She claims that the zera didn't have the potency over there. So therefore, right, so therefore the claim is you have the problem. So therefore the Gemara comes along and says, in such a case in a Beit Din, when both of them come along and stand there, who has the claim? Right? They're both claiming against themselves. Okay. So comes the Gemara and says, we read, Hu Amar, he says, Mina, Vi Amra Mine. Amar bi ami devarim shebo shebeno lebena. These are already private things between the husband and wife. Ne'eminit. She's believed. Why? V'ta'ama mai. The reason why is he kaima la biyorekahetz. She knows if the zera is yorekahetz. Kanere, seemingly, it's going into her. So she is able to discern if the zera is that type of zera or not. Who lo kim le biyureka hetz? But he is not the one to know. I guess it's inside of us. So she knows if it has that the strength or not. Therefore, she is the one that's believed or not. Now, he writes again over here. Just for more clarity in these cases over here. Be'emet, he writes, Afilu imayinu ma'aminim leta'anot sheneim. Let's say we believe both of them. You have a claim and you have a claim. Shegamu akar ve'gam hi akara. They're both enable. Adayin hayta zaka'it lechtubata. She should still get a ketubah. Why? Kol ha'tam sha'abalu yachod yipater meketubahu. Which is the whole claim that the husband has is what? Shenasa otamana lo'lid ima banim. I married you with pretense to be able to have children, and that's not so. Achim hu akar, but if he's akar, so that claim's out of the water. Because what? I married you to have children, and the four pretense, hey, you're akar also. So therefore, that whole claim doesn't mean anything over there. So technically, over here, even if in a case over here where you'd believe both of them. So not to say you have to only believe the wife. Even if you believe the husband's claim as well, he neutralizes. His claim neutralizes what he said, and therefore you still have to give her a ketubah as well.
He wouldn't know that he was akar.
Correct, which means if you would believe both of them, she's calling you akar, and you're coming along with a whole claim, I wouldn't have married you if I knew you were akara. If you believe both of them, he also loses his ketubah. Either way, because that your whole claim, we're going to believe you. You wouldn't have married her. We're going to believe her, that you're an akar. Thing up. There goes, so therefore you can have that claim either. Now, the Rishonim over here have another question as well, which is worthy to analyze. Why do we believe the lady over here? Why do you believe the lady that Rishonim ask? He says, wow, maybe she put her eyes already on somebody else. And therefore, I'm getting mishakirit. She's lying. She's coming along and saying, listen, I know the Zera is not being mazia over here. Why should you trust her? And therefore, she wants to get a divorce from this guy over here. And therefore, she should get married to somebody else. And the Gemara quotes in the Darim to the Aleph, you don't believe a lady what she says. You know, I want a divorce because the Zera is not Mazriya Kehetz. Because maybe she put her eyes on another guy, therefore she's trying to get a divorce out of her husband over here. So the Medarif answers, She'en anu hoshtim ota bekach mishum she'gemara shalu aisha en azu she'tomat ha-girushin. Very simple. The case over here, she's not asking for the girushin.
Well, it's 10 years.
It's either 10 years with a bet he's forcing the Girushin over here. So therefore, you're right. If she was the one that instigates it, I want a Girushin over here, then already her claim is already compromised. But she's not asking for the get. So therefore, we're not going to suspect her. We're not suspecting the Gaber, the Tana, you believe her. That they say that without your nekahetz, normally we don't believe for that because maybe we say she wants to get a get so she can marry somebody else. No, but in this case, she didn't come to ask for the get. Betty's coming to tell her to separate in the first place. Correct.
They're getting separated.
But that, again, the only reason why you don't believe her is if she comes along and says, I want a divorce.
Right.
So now already you say, oh, what's your claim? And say, I thought you were a now I say, I'm not believing you. Maybe the reason why you want to get a divorce is because you looked at somebody else. But when she's not the instigator of the get, so therefore that ta'ana is a ta'ana. In any event...
It says over here that she was, the case is talking about where she was married.
The Hakamim come along just so you should know in this sugya, there are 12 different mehalchim in this one case that we just said. Okay, so therefore know that this is already a sugya that is very wide and long in order to understand exactly all these ramifications. Let's go to the next case. Amar Ihu. So the husband comes along and says, Ezil in Siv Etita, which was brought up. Guy says, you know what? Let me go get married to somebody else. V'ibdok nafshai. And I'll check if I'm Yureka Hetz or not. Which means her whole claim is what? I'm telling you, not Yureka Hetz. And therefore I get the money. He comes along and says, hey, listen, there's a way to figure this out of here. Let me go get married to somebody else. If she's able to get pregnant, you see what? I'm able to be Yureka Hetz. And therefore your claim is not a claim. So that's the Gemara's continuation of the case over here, right? So Kazi Gemara says, Amar of Ami. Av bezu yotziv yitin ketubah. Pay the ketubah. Not a good claim. Why? Shani omer kol hanoseh isha al ishto yotziv yitin ketubah. But for a new reason. Because this opinion holds over here that if a lady doesn't want to get divorced and now a person goes along against his wife's will and takes another wife, a second wife, a co-wife, so the deen is automatically you got to pay your ketubah. Which means, technically that's a normal claim he's saying. Listen, you want to check if it's your hats or not? It's a very simple way to check this out of me. You stay here, tell my wife, I'm going to go take another wife, and we'll figure it out. But if you do that, for sure you got to pay the ketubah. Because you're noseh isha al ishto. You're taking another wife on you, you know, with the wife you have already. So therefore, the deen is according to these shittas we're going to see now in the Gemara. You must pay her the ketubah because again, you're forcing her out against her will. Rava Amar, Rava says no. He don't agree to that. He says Noseh Adam Kama Nashim Al Ishto Vehu Deit Le Lemizaninu. So long as he can pay for them and support them, he says you can marry as many wives as you want. So again, Rabbi Ami's ta'ana over here is that the husband's whole claim is why he doesn't want to pay the ketubah because what? He'll get married to another lady, correct? And if we can show the Beit Din who's got the veracity of the claim over here. However, it's not going to help. Because the fact that he's getting married to a second wife is going to force him to divorce the first one and pay the ketubah. Because the deen is, according to the Ami, that you cannot take a second wife against your wife's will. And if you do that, you have to give her a girushin with a ketubah. So therefore, it's counterproductive. So even if you want to do that, once you do that, already you fortified her claims again. Because the deen is, she's got to get a girushin with a guaranteed payment of ketubah. So that option is not an option. Comes again, but I continues. Another case. Hu Amar, he comes along and says, Apalt Begor Eser. We learned earlier in the Mishnah that if God forbid there was a miscarriage, so the 10 years start from the miscarriage. Yeah. So now what happens over here, Bet Din is coming to force the guy to give a get. First guy, let's say, right? It's after 10 years, and they're forcing him to pay the ketubah. He comes along and says, 10 years are not up yet. Why? She had a miscarriage somewhere in there.
10 years are.
The 10 years are from when they got married, but he's claimed there was a miscarriage. They got married in 1980, right? They come to the Beit Din in 1990, the Beit Din says, you got to get divorced. Hold it, she had a miscarriage in 1985. And then when the clock starts from 1985, I got 5 more years. I'm not getting divorced, not paying no ketubah. Vehi amra lo apilat, and she goes, I didn't have a miscarriage. Therefore, 10 years are up. Therefore, pay up. Look at that.
She wants out. What's she saying?
Look at that.
She's saying I'm not.
Who amar apilat begor esir? Kishe anu bein lachufor. Right, Betty's coming to force him to hotzi. Who omer apilat betoch esir vaadain ends man lehosi. Not time yet. Don't force me to divorce. I'm not giving her a ketubah either. Ditnan, moneh mishashe pila. Vi amra, lo apilat, ela akarani. She's coming along and says, listen, bottom line, I am an akara. Therefore, it's time for the divorce. Pay me my money. She gets the ketubah. So the Gemara says, who's believed over here? Amar av ameh av bezu, he ne'emenet. She's believed. Why is she believed? De'im ita de pila. If it's indeed true that she did have a miscarriage, nafsha be'akirta lo mehseka. She's not going to want to mahzik herself for no reason that she's akara, which means it's advantageous to her that she's fertile. And therefore now she's, by saying that she's akara, it's a disadvantage. So who's going to want to marry her now that she's akara? So therefore, to say that she's akara, she has an emanut, because it's more advantageous for her to mahzik herself in a lady that at least can have this character, which means she's fertile. So therefore, she is believed.
Why does she want the
Kiddushin? So he says, right, we're discussing a case over here, in a case over here where the lady didn't ask for a Kiddushin. She's not Tobeya, the Kiddushin at all over here. Which means, if she came along and now asked for a Girushin, we would not lo ayinu mekablin ta'anata sha'avru 10 shanim ba'ala hayav legaresh ota hayinu hoshdim ba'ashi meshakeret. I would say again the same logic. She's lying because she wants to go married to somebody else. So therefore the case was talking about over here where she didn't ask for the Girushin. She didn't have to worry about the false claims of it. But again, it was saying it's advantageous claim that she's saying, listen, I'm telling you, I'm akara. I did not have the miscarriage. It's to her, she'd rather make us, she's not going to make herself an akara if she doesn't have to. Therefore, she has the emanut. Comes the Gemara and continues. He comes along and says like this. Hepila, or the case, hepila vehazra vehepila vehazra vehepila. Let's say you have a lady, she has miscarriages 3 times. So the deen of the Gemara says, "Muhzeka lenefalim." So now she's muhzeket to have miscarriages, and therefore the deen is the yotzira. She says, "V'yitin ketubah." Wow. He divorces her immediately. Doesn't have to wait 10 years.
Wow.
Already, you see, she can have. She's only having stillborns, and therefore, you have to wait 10 years. Already, she's showing that she cannot give living children, and give a ketubah. Shime lo zechali b'ro memena, because maybe it's his bad luck that he's not having to have children from her. I mean, she's able to have children, but what? They're just coming out stillborn. So divorce can get immediately, but he's not to pay the ketubah. It's 3. Right, this is going like Rabban Shimon Gamliel, you have to say. Right. Good point. This is definitely going like Rabban Shimon Gamliel that says Hazakah is after 3 times when it comes to Apalot. Very good point. Comes Gemara and continues. Hu amar, now we give the case. He comes along and says, apilatre. You had 2 miscarriages. Right? Therefore, it's not up to the time of divorce, and therefore, no ketubah, no nothing. Only 2 miscarriages. Hi amra tlat. And she comes along and says, no, there was 3 miscarriages over here. Again, she'll take the divorce and she'll get a ketubah. Amar b'Yitzhak ben el-Azhar, uvda hava b'midrasha. There was a case like this in the Bet Midrash. V'amru, and they said like this, he mehemnya, she's believed. Why? De'im ita de'lo apila. Because if you're going to say what? That she's not, she didn't have the miscarriages. Nafsha b'nifule lo mahseka. which means why would she want to make herself a lady that has miscarriages? So therefore, then they're ready, who's going to marry her? So therefore, the same logic. Therefore, since her claim is a strong tana, she wouldn't lie for such a thing. That's the point. So therefore, she is ne'emenet. Therefore, she gets the gidushin from the bet din, and she will collect the ketubah immediately. Comes the Gemara and continues. Now we actually go to the next Mishnah. Ha'ish mitzuvah periyav rebiyah. The man is commanded on the mitzvah of peru urvu, aval lo ha'isha, but not the lady. Rabbi Yohanan ben Beruka Omer, Rabbi Yohanan says, al shenehem hu Omer, on both of the man and the woman it is said, vaybarech otam Elohim, vayomer lahem Elohim peru urvu. Therefore Rabbi Yohanan says there's a mitzvah on both the man and the woman to fulfill peru urvu. Comes the Gemara and says, mina nemile, how do we know the first sheet after the kama that only the man is chayav on peru urvu? Amar bila mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. The pasuk says, it says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the land, populate the land, and conquer it. Keywords, conquer it. Ish darko lichbosh. Then isha darka lichbosh. It's the way of a man to conquer. But it's not a way of a lady to conquer. Therefore, who's mechoyav in peru urvu? And somebody that conquers. That's a man, not a lady. Gemara says, adrabah, v'chivshuha. Tati mashma. From the way we read the word, v'chivshuha means both of you conquer. That's mashma, both the man and the lady. Amar avnama b'yitzhak, v'chivsha ketiv. The way it's written in the singular terminology. So therefore, they say it's really referring to the man. Rav Yosef Rav Yosef says from a different proof, Ani El Shaddai, God tells Yaakov Abinu, I am the God Pere Urbe. God speaks to Yaakov in the singular tense, be fruitful and multiply, Velo Ka'amar Peru Urbu, implying that the obligation is only on the men. V'amar Bilam, Mishum Rabbeinu Azam Yishmon, Keshem Shemitzvah Al Adam, Lomar Davar HaNishma, just like there's a mitzvah for a person to say things that people will listen to, which means when it comes to giving rebuke, it's a mitzvah to rebuke people that are going to listen to your words. Kach Mitzvah Al Adam Shelo Lomar Davar she'enu nishma. There's also an equal mitzvah to not say things that are not going to be heard. Which means, just like certain times it's a mitzvah to say things that you understand people will take your rebuke, if you know they're not going to take the rebuke, it's just as a mitzvah not to say it. Now the Mefarshim over here explained the case we're talking about over here. Now we know there's a mitzvah from the Torah to rebuke. Ocheyach, tochiyach et amitecha. We know that. Now, The Mefarshim explained that we're discussing a case over here. Maybe it's in the book I saw. The Ritzvah says there's a chiluk between giving rebuke to Rabbin and giving rebuke to Yahid. What's the chiluk? So the Ritzvah says like this, that the Gemara Erchin writes that this is the mitzvah of Ochiyah Tochiyah to rebuke your friend up until the point where he hits you. Which means once he hits you, then already you can stop. So the Gemara says over there is Hainu biyahid. He says that's only talking about an individual. Aval berabim asu lomar davar she'enu nishma. So this Gemara is talking about berabim. So when you're giving rebuke to the masses, if you can ascertain that they're not going to listen, so then it's better already not to say it. So comes the Gemara and says, and there's different logics to why this is so. One logic might be that as long as they're transgressing it and they don't know, so therefore they're considered, let's say, shogeg. Right? But now already, you know they're not going to listen to you, so why are you telling them? Now you're turning everybody into a mezid. Of course that has parameters as well, whether it's mitzvah to uraita, whether it's mitzvah to rabbanan, but the point is it's not proper to tell them something that they're not going to listen to, because you are going to make them a mezid. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Abba Omer, Rabbi Abba Shoba. It's not a mitzvah to keep quiet, it's an obligation. It's even stronger. It's an obligation to keep quiet. Do not rebuke a scoffer. Because he might come to hate you. But on the contrary, give rebuke to a hacham, and he will come to love you. The hachamim, they love the corrective criticism. But the litz, already is going to resent you for it. A person is not to change from the truth in order to keep peace. How do we know? That's the emar. Avicha Siva, Ko Tomeru Li Yosef, Anas Hana. The brothers, after Yaakov Avinu died, they went to Yosef and they said, listen, your father said before he died, please forgive the brothers for their sin. That conversation never happened. So therefore they fabricated a story, but why did they fabricate a story? To keep the peace. So if you see, Mutal Shalom, Pnei Shalom, Lebina Taromer, Mitzvah. No, it's not only permissible, it's a mitzvah. Shana Emar, Vayom Shemuel, Ech Elech, Veshamal Shaul, Baharagani. When Shemuel was commissioned to go appoint David HaMelech as the king of Israel, David Shemuel was worried. Shemuel told Borei Olam, I'm worried if Shaul's going to find out what I'm doing, he's going to come and kill me. So what did God tell Shemuel? Don't worry. Tell them that I told you that you're on the way to go bring a korban. When they ask you, where are you going? Don't tell me you're going to go anoint David. Tell me you're going to bring a korban. So you see what God is commanding Shemuel. It's a mitzvah. Change from the truth in order to keep the shalom. The bear be Ishmael Tana. Gadol shalom. To keep peace is great. She'af kadosh baruch hu shina bo. You see, even Borei Olam, he changed from the truth to keep peace. When Sarah Imenu heard that she's going to have a child, what did she say? How am I going to have a child? Vaduni zaken, my husband's an old man. When God comes to Abraham, God says, why did Sarah laugh and say, Va'ani zakanti, that I am old? So you see, Borei Olam, to keep the peace between Abraham and Sarah, changed the words. Well, God's not going to say that she said that you're an old man. She changed it. She says, how's she going to have a child? Va'ani zakanti. So you see, even Borei Olam, because that related to change from the accuracy of the statement in use. Rabbi Yochanan ben Beruka Omer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Beruka comes along and says that the obligation is on the man and the lady. Because the Pasuk says, and God said to them, "Peruvu Itmar, Rabbi Yohanan, Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi, both rabbis. Had Amar halacha k'Rabbi Yohanan ben Beruka. One rabbi said halacha for Rabbi Yohanan ben Beruka that the pirur was on both. Had Amar and halacha k'Rabbi Yohanan ben Beruka. Now we don't know who said what, but one said yeah halacha k'Rabbi Yohanan ben Beruka. One said not. Testayim the Gemara, so we can conclude that Rabbi Yohanan who the Amar in halacha." That must be Rabbi Yohanan, the one that said that halacha is not like Rabbi Yohanan ben Beruka. Why? The Yativ Rabbi Abhu was sitting with the students. Ve'ka'amar mishemed Rabbi Yohanan. He said in the name of Rabbi Yohanan, halacha, he said that halacha, which means he said that halacha is like Rabbi Yohanan. Ve'ahadirinu Rabbi Amev Rabbi Aseh le'apayu. And they turned their heads from him, which they were sitting in the shi'ud. Right, so who said halakha? Rabbi Abu. He said a halakha, and he said, you should know, in the name of Rabbi Yohanan, the halakha. And then what happened? Whoever was sitting at the table turned around. What does this mean? Look at Rashi. Mishemed Rabbi Yohanan, halakha k'Rabbi Yohanan Beruka. Which is in the shiur, Rabbi Abu said, Rabotai, I'm quoting Rabbi Yohanan. He said, halakha follows Rabbi Yohanan ben Beruka, that the pirur vu is on both. Next Rashi, Vadrinu le'apayu. Delo amra Rabbi Yohanan me'olam. They were trying to give him kavod without rejecting him. They just turned their faces to Rabbi Abu without telling him you have your facts wrong. Okay, so therefore, really, Rabbi Yohanan was the one that said and the talmidim or the rabbis that were around them, they just turned their backs to him to show as if you're wrong. So the Gemara gives a different version. Because Amri, Rabbi Chaya bar Abba Amar, Rabbi Chaya bar Abba quoted Rabbi Yohanan to say that Adaka falls with Amr Ruka, Vahadirinu Rabbi Amiv Rabbi Yasi Adapai. And also, they didn't want to reject him, they just turned their backs to him to say as if we don't go with that. Amar Papa, Bishlam Adam Adam Rabbi Abu Amra. We understand according to the first story that Rabbi Abu is the one that was giving the halakha. Mishum Kavod Bekesar, Lo Amrune Velo Midi. That's why they didn't contradict him, but out of respect to Rabbi Abu, who was very close to the Caesar, so instead of directly contradicting, they just turned their backs towards him to show a sign that they don't agree what he said. However, but according to the Shita that says Rabbi Chaya said the statement, let them tell him Lo Amar Rabbi Yohanan Ake. Which means, why didn't they just tell him? They're not to show extra respect to Rabbi Chaya. They could have been verbal with him. They could have said, listen, you say that the halakha, Rabbi Yohanan said halakha, Rabbi Yohanan Beruka, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara likes the first version better, that was Rabbi Abhu, and that's why they gave him the kavod by just turning their backs instead of verbally contending. Gemara says, "My havi ala." Bottom line, what's the halakha? Who do we go like? We go like Tarakama, or do we go like Rabbi Yohanan Beruka? Tashemad Amar Avaha Bar Chanina Amar Avaha Abhu Amar Rabbi Yosef Ovda Avaha
Kamed Rabbi Yohanan. There was a story with Rabbi Yohanan with Kinnishtah the Kisri. And it's in the Bet Knesset in Kisari. The Amar Yotzi V'yiten Ketubah. What was the case? Rashi. The case was V'hi Tobato L'Gerashash. The lady wanted to get Lefi Shelo Ayu Labarim, which means she didn't have children. So therefore, she was coming along and claiming that she wants a get. And what did Rabbi Yohanan say in the Bet Knesset over in Kesari? Yotzi, you have to divorce her and you have to pay her ketubah. So the Gemara asks, V'isal kadatach lo mifkeda. And if you're telling me that what she's not commanded ketubah may abidda, then what is her claim towards the ketubah? Which means her only claim towards the ketubah is over here. She was married to this guy. She's not having children over here. She wants to fulfill the mitzvah. So therefore, she has a right. So therefore, Rabbi Yohanan said, you know what? You have a right to go fulfill mitzvah priyav rebiya. Take the get and go and get married and take your ketubah. So it must be that she is commanded in Pinu Urvu. So comes the Gemara and says, who told you? Who told you that that was the logic behind the story over there? Dilma biba'a mahmat ta'ana. Maybe she was asking for the ketubah for a different reason. Nothing to do with the piruvu. Maybe the ketubah was coming to her because she had a good claim. Like what? Kiyahi, like the story that Taila committed of Ami. There was a case came in front of Rabbi. Amra there, she comes to the husband, to the rabbis, have the ketubah. Right? She came along and said she wants her ketubah. Amar la, so she tells her, zil, go, lo mifkedat. I got to pay the ketubah. You're not mechoyevet on piriyav rabia. She's already demanding a get. She wants to have children. That's why you want to get divorced. I don't have to pay. The husband was not asking for a divorce. She's asking for a divorce. And what's her claim? Why she wants a divorce? She wants to go have children. I don't have to pay for that. You're not obligated to have children. That's not a reason for a divorce. I'm not giving you the ketubah. Amra le. Also, she says like this. Misibu dila mai teve ala dehach iteta. When this lady gets old, what is going to be with her? That she's language is bizikna mate aleha, which she's really trying to say, listen, I have a claim, I should get the ketubah. Bottom, I'm married to you, I have no children. I know I'm not obligated to have children. But what? I want to have children. Why? Who's going to take care of me when I'm an old lady? So therefore, pay me the ketubah because you're stopping me, not because I'm obligated. You're taking away my quality of life over here. When I get older, who's gonna take care of me? So therefore, that's a ta'ana already. So now already from that ta'ana, she get a ketubah. Amar. So the rabbi said in that case, ki hav vaday kafinan. In this case over here, we force the guy to give the divorce and pay the ketubah. Ha he the atay lekamed Rav Nachman. Similar story. Lady comes in front of Rav Nachman. Amar la lo mifkedat. She says, listen, Rabbi says, we can't give you the ketubah. You want to get divorced, get divorced, but you're not commanded on Peru Urvu. So therefore you don't get the ketubah. What happened? Amra le lo baya hach iteta. Doesn't this lady need, she's talking in third person, doesn't this lady need chutra liyada, a stick for her hand, umara, a cane for her hand, umara likbura, and a shovel to bury her? Which means, who's going to bury me? Who's going to be my support? And if I want to have children. And therefore he said, amar ki hava dai chafina. And in this case over here for sure, you force him, and therefore she get the ketubah. Which means even though she's not commanded in Peru Urvu, there's no raya that she shouldn't get a ketubah. Which means, because we can have cases over here where she, if she has a claim for other reasons, that she needs children to help her, so therefore the rabbis will say, you can get a get and get the ketubah. So therefore the Gemara leaves that. That is not a proof. Gemara says, last story. Yehuda v'Hizkiya te'umim hayu. There's two brothers, two twins actually. Yehuda and Hizkiya. Echad nigmera tzurato lesof tish'a. One already was a complete baby, full term, meaning in the ninth month, already he was developed. V'echad nigmera tzurato letchilat shiv'a. And one already was fully developed in the seventh month. Basically means the lady had very difficult pregnancy and she had a very difficult labor because of the development of the two children at different times in her womb. So what happened? Yehudit debitut Rabbi Chaya. Yehudit, who was the wife of Rabbi Chaya, the mother of these twins, havala tsa'a leda. She had tremendous pain in the childbirth. She changed her garments. She came in front of her husband. Amra, she said like this. Are ladies obligated in this mitzvah? Amala lo. He said no. Azla, so she went. She drank the potion that causes the lady to become infertile. She drank, that's it, she can't have children anymore. Lesof, at the end, Iglai Milta. It became revealed to Rabbi Chaya that his wife now took this infertility potion. Amar La, so he said, Ichu Yalad Li Hada Karsa Aharita. I wish we could have one more set. Which means, I wish we could have had one more set of children. Nasi, Umi Yitin Shelo Shatit. I wish he didn't drink it. Vitaldili Od Keres Ehad Shnei Barim. I would bring another set of twins. Why? Because these children were not his only set. The Gemara says, the Amar, more. Yehuda v'Hizkiyah, they were twin boys. Pazi v'Tavi, who were they? Gemara says, Ahvateh. They were the sisters. So twin sisters. So therefore, Rebbe had the four children. Two boys, twins. Two girls, twins. Velo mifkedeh. And what do you mean, velo mifkedeh? Which means, Gemara is saying... Oh, sorry. End of story. Which is two sets of the boy, a set of boys, and a set of girls. So he said, I feel bad. She had a time when she gave birth to the boys. So we said, am I commanded? You're not commanded. Not commanded, that's it. I don't know. So she drank. So he said, I wish she would have one more set. I would have been happy. Fine. So the Gemara says, Velo mifakdeh. You tell me that the ladies are not commanded in Peru Urvu? It was a certain lady. She was half free and half a slave. What does that mean? She had, let's say, two owners. One owner freed her, and the other owner kept her as a slave. So what happened? So Betin forced the owner that kept her and said, "Why you have to free her?" Now, what's the reason over here? That we understand the reason is because she has a mitzvah pirurvu, and therefore, in the state that she is now, half, she can't marry anybody, and therefore she cannot marry a Jew for sure because she has a son avdut. And therefore, it seems they freed her. Why? In order that she go marry to fulfill the mitzvah of pirurvu. So the Gemara is saying over here that what do you see? That the ladies are obligated in what pirurvu? Why did the betin force her to get free? Why did the betin force the master to free her and not to fulfill pirurvu? Gemara says no. Amar of Nahman bar Yitzchak minhag hefker nahaguba, which means the reason why they fought, not because she's hayavet and perurvu, they just wanted to get her married. Why do they want to get her married? Because as a shifra, now she was hefkerut, which means everybody was going with her, and she was acting like derech znut, because she really can't marry anybody. So therefore, in order to give her a proper life, she shouldn't be treated derech hefkerut. You know what? Free her. What's going to help by freeing her? Now she can get married, she has a husband, finished. They will not treat her with minhag hefkerut. Not kosher pirurvu. And then the Gemara is concluding, really, have no raya that the ladies are chayavot. Let's read Rashi. Minhag hefker naguba, lefi shlo hayta yichola linaseh. So hayta mefakeret asma. She was promiscuous. Vechotim ba, lefi chach. Kafu et rabba, leshachrera. Adran ala, chabad, yibimto.